I'm reading today from the Message, Romans 12, verse 1 through 3. And a short introduction would be, this is a letter from Paul to the Christian church in Rome. And it's about how their faith in Christ is new way of being a follower. And this new way of living calls them into deep relationship of faithfulness that is different than the life they had before. In Romans 12, Paul outlines how believers are called to live this new life amid their day-to-day coming and goings. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you about a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibility in relation to you. Living then, every one of us does in pure grace. It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing their goodness and to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lois. In June of 2015, I was scheduled to lead a mission trip to Henderson Settlement in Kentucky. It was going to be a youth mission trip with the youth group that I was in charge of at Lovely Lane United Methodist Church. And we were just about getting, we were starting to pack and getting ready to go. 4 days before we were supposed to leave, Dale's stepmom had a debilitating stroke, and she was hospitalized and unresponsive. Of course, I knew that I needed to recuse myself from the trip, and after we called our children to tell them that Grandma had had a stroke, I called Paul Wilcox, the pastor at Lovely Lane, and said, "Guess what happened? Guess what I can't do?" Both of us madly started searching for somebody to replace me, knowing that I couldn't go to Kentucky and wonder what was happening back in Iowa. By God's grace, a former youth leader who had moved to Minnesota was able to clear her calendar and go in my place. And the good news was, all of the youth knew her because she'd only been gone less than a year. So as the mission trip group was leaving on Saturday for Kentucky, our family was packing up and heading to Estherville, not knowing what we would find, not knowing how things were going to end up with Dale's stepmom, Darlene. And so when we got there, she was actually a bit more lucid than we had expected, and we got to have moments with her that were somewhat cognizant for her. But we returned home on Sunday knowing full well that the stroke would take her eventually and that she would not be able to recover from the effects of the stroke. On Monday, I opened up my calendar, not even really thinking, and on my calendar, this was actually my calendar from 2015, I noticed that it said for the week, so this is the 15th, that we were going to Henderson Settlement in Kentucky for a mission trip. And I realized I had nothing on my calendar because that was the only thing I put on my calendar. And it was in one fell swoop, my plans were changed. From planning to do home repair and building relationship with youth, instead I had an open calendar. Life has a way of doing this to us. Life has a way of swooping in and disrupting the plans that we make, and everything changes. Serious illness attacks the body that was once healthy. It happens in one fell swoop. Divorce or loss of relationship leaves gaping holes in our lives. The independence that we once had fades as aging starts to take place and more aches and pains are coming in. Loved ones die. Even the planned events that we have, like newborn babies and baptisms and graduations and weddings, visits from long-lost family members and friends, also come in and hijack our lives and hijack our best-laid plans. And we're left saying the words, "Now what?" When I looked at my calendar, I said, "Now what?" What would you do if you were given a week like that? It was a week where I knew I couldn't make any other plans. It was a week that the phone call could come at any moment saying that Darlene had passed. And we would need to make our travels to Estherville for the funeral. Darlene did die a week later on Sunday. She died on the 21st, actually. But in that week, in that open space, in that space between busy weeks, I had a lot of time for reflection. I had a lot of time. I didn't even really go to the office much because I had somebody scheduled to preach. I had somebody doing pastoral care, and I didn't want to re-engage and then have to unengage when we got the call. And so I spent my time reflecting on Darlene's life. I spent my time reflecting on my own call to ministry. I spent my time thinking about the seminary classes that I'd be taking in a few short weeks. And I really reflected a lot on my walk with Jesus. I did what the Apostle Paul says to do in his letter into the church at Romans. Paul says in verse 1, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. In that week in between, I placed everything before God. That was all I could do. There was really no other options. Dale went on with work, and the kids were sort of in and out of their stuff, but we really had an exercise in placing everything before God. When we do this, it allows the holy to intervene in the mundane things of our lives, because the everyday walking around is the mundane stuff that we do every day. And when we allow that space and time, the holy can come in and do profound things. Too often, the spaces on our calendars get too full with activities from life. And when that happens, we miss God showing up in the daily things that we're doing in our lives. We miss what is the best thing for us and for God, and that is for God to just be with us. Believe it or not, my friends, every part of our lives is known to God. Our smallest sighs, our smallest disappointments, to our greatest achievements, each and every one matters to God. And each and every one of you, each of those things matters to God. And yet, too often we don't realize it because we don't stop often enough to find God even in the midst of the tiniest spaces that we have in our schedules. We have these tiny spaces, and we fill them with other things instead of seeing where God is going to show up. My friends, there is one constant in our lives that will remain with us when we experience the barrage of interruptions and when our best laid plans go by the wayside. And that is the never-ending presence of God. God sent Jesus and then the Holy Spirit to dwell with us through prayer, through fellow believers that we have here, and the unwavering love of God. We can feel connected to the Lord, even in the trials and tribulations of our life. But only if we take those given little moments and seek the presence of Christ. So this Lenten season, my friends, I invite you to make your plans, right? Because that's what we do, we make our plans. But I also invite you to expect that even some of your best laid plans may fall by the wayside, may be interrupted, and that because that's what life does. I invite you to give yourself just a tiny bit of space to notice God at work in your lives. Try fasting from technology for even 1 hour a day. Turn off your phone, turn off your devices, because when we get hijacked by a phone call or a Twitter feed or a text or Facebook, it takes away from our time of just being with God. Look within yourself for Christ, who is already dwelling there and just wants you to come and spend a moment or two in his presence. I pray this Lenten season you will go deeper with Christ because you decided to carve out a few moments here and there. I invite you to practice looking within by using this breath prayer. So I want you just to kind of just pause for a moment and just think about your breathing for a moment. And breathe in the peace of Christ. And breathe out the challenges in your life. Breathe in the peace of Christ. Breathe out the challenges of your life.